Fellow Internet, my name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And what I guess will now be a screen verdict tradition, I believe this is going to be the second time we've attempted this. We're going to be reviewing season 10 of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia with a twist. Matt, what is the twist?
It's a speed review. We're going to review every episode, but we're going to make a 2-minute time limit per episode. That's, like, going to be exciting.
Yeah, way too many productions that Hollywood these days, they make things that just go on and on and on and on. So we're here to get things done in time. We're going to keep it short and sweet. We're going to get to the point, and we're going to give our speed reviews episode by episode on this season of It's Always Sunny.
Yeah, we love the show. It's exciting. Yes.
Yeah, I'm such a big fan of the show. I almost nominated it for an SV. 2014 SV, only to find out that it wasn't actually on air at any point in 2014. So we'll see if it can make a run for 2015.
Jonathan, king of the rubber stamp. The box.
It's just that good. It's just that good.
Very good. It's a very good show. And what a good, like, I was thinking about this the other day, what a consistent show. Like, 10 seasons, it's still very strong, maybe, who knows what our review will be. But, like, the first 9 seasons, very strong and consistent. And, like, it's amazing, like, it's never been that popular a show. And you've seen shows like, you know, in that time, like, maybe Desperate Housewives and other sorts of shows that get a real, like, mass cultural phenomenon for a year and then die out. Boy, Sunny just chugging along there, racking up the seasons, keeping a small fan base.
I was trying to think of a comedy that had gone on that long and kept that quality. I think Seinfeld is one that comes to mind, but, you know, a lot of my other favorite shows either lasted a shorter amount of time, or shows that did last that long maybe started to go downhill, something like the Simpsons. So, very impressive stuff. We'll see whether they can keep it up with season 10.
Like a Cheers had 11 seasons, a MASH had 11 seasons. They're quite classic, you know, shows in TV history, but very different, like, they're very old shows too, like the 70s and the 80s. Like, you know, they weren't making as many shows back then.
It was easy to be better back then, less competition.
Yeah,
you didn't have to compete with YouTube and fast food. It was a different time.
Hey, let's just get Ted Danson behind a bar. That'll just go 11 seasons and be great. And it was.
So, in the spirit of brevity, let's get into It's Always Sunny. Matt is the official timekeeper.
It's, I'm using a smartphone device to...
Of non-specified brand.
So we will be happy to accept money if you want the smartphone brand names. Any smartphone companies can get in touch. Happy to change smartphones.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to have to sift through a fair amount of emails in order to make that decision.
Yes.
Matt, what's the first episode?
The first episode is The Gang Beats Boggs. Time starts.
Okay, so gang, going across the country, cross-country flight, trying to beat baseball player Wade Boggs' record of 70 beers on a cross-country flight. This is a great premise for an episode. It's pretty, and it's an insane task, 70 beers. Matt, how many beers do you think you could drink on a cross-country flight?
I don't know. I usually have like 1 or 2 beers on a like flight.
That's
maybe
not enough.
Like,
that's not going to beat the record.
A glass of wine or something. I did when I flew back from America at late last year. I did have a bit of a hangover getting on the flight, and that was pretty painful. Like, that wasn't great. Like,
that's not prime drinking condition.
No, the 5 a.m. The 5 a.m. shuttle bus to the airport with a hangover is not very fun, being in an airport and then on a plane. Luckily, though, when you get off the plane, you're feeling good. Good. Oh, beat. Man.
That's a struggle. I'm a bit of a lightweight, not the biggest beer drinker. I reckon if I tried for maybe like 2 an hour, I would just be like obliterated by the. I could do like 10 to 12 beers, probably, and I'd be out of the race.
I love Charlie's approach, where he's having like the rum and the meat and like just like.
Charlie had some standout moments in the episode. I love the quote at the end when he was drunk and he goes, "Does Philly have chicken?"
Yeah. Yeah. Mac being the commissioner was also really funny. Yeah. Sort of this whole idea of like sports commissioners and things like that. Next time we're on a cross country flight together, Jonathan, we'll have to see who can have the most beers.
Oh dear. And maybe we'll end up in the air sex club.
Yeah.
That was a very official sounding buzzer. All right.
Next episode, the gang group dates. Jonathan.
I guess. So Sunny likes to make fun of these little social things, and so I guess it's about a dating website, and Dennis becomes obsessed with his score. There's a score. He keeps on getting ranked lower and lower, and it drives Dennis more insane. Matt, how do you think you would go on these dates? What would your score be out of 5?
Well, I think I'd have a pretty high score, to be honest. Like, I think I'd do quite well. Like, I'm not sure. Well, here's the thing. I think there'd be a lot of girls who maybe it'd be hard to get girls to go on dates with me. But like, I think when they go on the dates, they'll give me a good score. I'm a pretty good game day player. Like,
it depends who else is using the site. If it's the gang from It's Always Sunny, the other people that are getting rated, I reckon I could get a comparatively pretty good score.
Yeah, I'm pretty nice. Like, dates for me are pretty nice. Like, you know, I went on a couple of weeks ago, you know, went out for pizza, then went to a nice place where you could see the opera at the City Opera House. And yeah, it was really, things are really nice tonight. So
my pants are coming off already.
Yeah.
Just listening to the tape. I think my favorite part of it was Charlie, Frank, and Mac, them teaming up and just sort of going through, like, what they can and can't talk about. Like, they can't talk about, like, creatine poops or snakes. And, like, Charlie's like, well, what else is there to talk about?
Yeah.
Blow the whistle every time
Now, I know you've got a girlfriend, Jonathan, but, like, do you like the idea of this website of rating people after you've gone on a date with them?
Yeah, because, well, I think that it really only serves a purpose if you want to give a low score. Well, time's up.
So am I. Okay, the next episode, this is a good one. This is Psycho Pete Returns.
Ooh, psycho killer.
Yeah. Run away.
This is going to be the entire 2 minutes.
Yeah. Woo! What a way to start a review.
I'm pumped. Psycho Pete. Wow. We didn't get to meet Psycho Pete, did we? We just learned about him in the high school reunion episode.
Oh, I think so, yeah. I was going to say, what are you talking about? He was all over this episode.
So we finally get to meet Psycho Pete this episode. And, it's a little depressing because turns out not really that psycho, but had to go through all this therapy and stuff because he was considered psycho by everybody else, and it was all started by Mac and Charlie. Oh, dear.
This episode had some really good stuff. Like, I love this episode. I think them coming in with the boombox and then ending with the boombox with the Rytro, which is such fun. Like, I wish I could walk into a boombox and play singing songs. Like, that would get me. Like, that was just great. The talk about sort of like how a priest gives you absolutions so you can keep on sinning compared to a therapist who makes you have to deal with your problems. I think that when they, like, talk about how Pete had changed and how much they liked that, like, don't worry, he's not, like, he's a changed man, but then when they find out that he's more boring, they want to change him back. I think Dennis talking about taxes versus, like, sort of, how can they close this place? Like, the government's so responsible. She goes, well, then they'd have to raise your taxes. And he just is going, how could they raise our taxes? Like, there were so many great moments in this episode.
Froggy.
Sorry. Probably wasted time with that song. Next episode, Charlie Work.
Ah, Charlie Work. So everyone in the bar just sort of doesn't really take any notice of the work that Charlie does. And the health inspector comes and nobody cares. And Charlie's freaking out. He's like, I've got to do this, and no one's prepared to help him. And this just sort of genius sequence of events where Charlie has to pull off the unthinkable in order to get the approval from the health inspector. Everything clicks into place except for a couple of mess-ups here and there by particularly D. It's always D messing everything up. And yet still no one even noticed. No one even cared. Oh, is that still a thing? Oh, well, yeah, of course. We passed every year. I think it was just a really good highlight of the great qualities of Charlie and the obliviousness of everyone else.
And what a great comment on life, like, that I think quite often, like, when things go well, and, like, it could be a lot of work, a lot of organisation go into it, people don't notice those things. Because it's just like, you know, the things that people put in place to keep the earth spinning and keep, well, obviously that's an expression, like, to keep the earth spinning and keep things going, go underappreciated, and people just, like, take it for granted. Like, you know, oh, yeah, of course that, like, all went off a hinge, like, hitchless, because it always goes well. So either that's, I think if Charlie got nominated for an Emmy, which he probably won't, because this show's never got nominated for an Emmy before other than last year for Stunts, this would be a great submission for Charlie, wouldn't it? Like, it was just all him, all the time, doing all this great stuff.
Charlie, guns blazing, go, go, go.
Yeah.
I like some of the stupid things they thought were funny, like the chair, like to put the nail, like, on the bar stool.
Yeah.
And that guy that they were serving, and, like, they serve him, like, this burnt steak. Oh. Be late. Take your burnt steak, get out, we're on to the next episode.
Yeah, Frank Underwood can deal with your burnt steaks. So, the gang spies like us. Well, spies like US.
Yeah, what happens? What happens here? There's a fish factory. They want to spy on that for some reason. Matt fills in.
Yeah. Well, it was China, like, there was a Chinese-owned fish company across the road, and they were worried that they're spying on them for some reason, and then so they sent D to go work in the factory to get some information. I think she tries to seduce the boss there. And my favourite thing is the restaurant that they come back to. And now, like, they're like, oh, he's like, oh, yes, I've served you before. They're like, oh, I can't remember. He's like, you spilled spaghetti on me and stuff. And, like, Charlie, you expect me to remember every waiter I spilled spaghetti on? And I think the restaurant stuff was really the best. And, like, they keep on asking for the fish.
Frank's like, just get an appetizer. And they're like, we'll get the sea bass.
Yeah.
And then because of D, like, messing up at the plant, there is no sea bass, and they take it out on the waiter.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. D was causing there to be no fish there, and that just made them angry at the waiter. I love how that was linked, but they didn't realise that it was linked.
I thought the cream pie bit was, like, a little bit on the nose, like, just a little bit cheap, a little bit silly, the sex joke. But the conversation in which Dennis and Dennis and Mac think Charlie is talking about, like, what does he think of it? He thinks, like, Charlie's, like, talking about, like, giving his cream pies to kids or something.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That was so awful. So funny.
Wait, were you going to say you thought that bit was funny?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Next episode, the gang misses the boat.
Gang misses... All right, so... Dennis drives his car into the ocean because he thinks
it's a buck party.
He thinks it's his Land Rover is an all terrain vehicle, all terrain including the river. So he gets mad at each other and they sort of forced to sort of go their own ways for a little bit. So you have Dennis trying to sell the car, which is still in the river. Dee and Charlie doing beat poetry. Or is this where Frank joins that other gang?
Yeah.
What's up, bitches? I'm a man cheater.
Yeah.
What does Mac get up to?
He decides to start dating hotter women. Because Dennis has been, the gang's been holding him back. So I guess everyone realizes the gang's been holding them back.
It is funny how everyone thinks they're going to be better off on their own, but really, the gang is the only people delusional enough to, like, to, you know, promote or keep, you know, pushing forward the ridiculous beliefs that they have about each other and to go along with all the crazy schemes.
Yeah, it makes them realize how, like, much they enjoy each other, I guess. Like,
the other people at the bar are like, why are you in a man-cheater costume? Like, to them, they ask questions. Whereas the gang, they're just like, I like that. That's cool. Where'd you get that?
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's good. I wonder if we should do a podcast separately once. Like, each week off on our own podcast. Well, I guess we did with those guys on the Redbox Report. Did the Redbox Report make you realize how much you enjoy doing a podcast with me?
Yeah. We'll never know whether I prefer doing Screen Verdict or the Redbox Report.
Okay, so Mac kills his dad.
Oh, Mac's dad's episodes are usually pretty funny because he is just this pretty ruthless, pretty badass criminal, and Mac is always trying to win his affection, even though he has no interest in sort of, you know, rebuilding the family, and try as he may, everything that he does makes things worse for his dad, as he is suspected of murder.
Yes, and everything Mac does makes it worse. Is there anything else going on in this episode?
I don't really remember. I think the funniest scene for me was when they go to the crime scene in order to try and, you know, get evidence in order to try and help. And Charlie's basing all of his line of questioning on what they do in the TV shows. It's like, all right, well, we should ask this guy, you know. In the TV shows, it's just some guy working in the corner. He will usually have seen something.
Yeah. Charlie on the... It's always good when Charlie's on the case. I don't know much to say about this episode. Are you ready to go to the next one?
Yeah. We beat the timer, I guess. Take that, timer.
Okay, the gang goes on family fights. I like this one. This one's good.
This is a great premise for an episode. They're on television, so you get to see, because normally the gang is doing crazy stuff and it's kind of normal to them, so I guess in that episode where they split off, it was funny to see other people's reactions. Now they're going to be on public TV, and one of the guys from Key and Peele, I don't know if he's Key or Peele, I think he's Key, his reactions to the crazy questions and answers that they give is pretty hilarious.
Yeah, it's great. I don't really like Family Feud, but I like sort of it as an allegory for things or whatever. Like, when someone goes, oh, like, like, oh, would you think of me, whenever anyone says, would you think of me as a quiet person or whatever, I said, well, not really, but, like, if the, I said, maybe a bit, but if the family feud board was up and I had to guess, you know, what the survey came in as, I wouldn't say quiet. But I love sort of, like, trying to think that. So I'd love to go on Family Feud. That would be a fun show to go on. And it was fun seeing these guys answer. And Dennis, like, the game was quite good at the game, which was good.
I love, like, Charlie's answers. I was like, what's an animal that eats us that we don't eat? Dragon. Like, dragon? It's like, yeah, well, that's more of a food for kings, and I'm more of a peasant.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really good. I love the host, like, reacting and them, like, doing so well. Like,
especially when Charlie gets all the one-point answers. It just drives the host crazy.
Yeah. Oh, man. It was very good.
Nightman. But,
yeah.
Nightman.
Yeah. If you had to say one word to describe It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and we surveyed 100 people. Oh! Time's up. Okay. So, next episode, Frank retires.
So, the guys are looking... Well, Matt, cut out there for a second. The gang's looking down a hole. They're wondering what's down the hole. Charlie suggests maybe there's a mutant. They should try and pull it up so it could live in the bar. And the gang's arguing as usual, but Frank just doesn't have the passion for it. He's like, you know what? Too old for this. I'm going to retire. So the gang goes about deciding who should be the heir to the bar. You know, who gets Frank's share. And it seems, for whatever reason, it seems that each of their plans involve drawing blood from Frank while he's asleep.
Yeah.
Frank just loses more and more blood throughout the episode, which makes him age. It's like, wow. It's like, I guess retirement doesn't look good on you, Frank.
Yeah. I love how ill-prepared they were for the blood draining, too. Like, they're, like, putting it in, like, plastic shopping bags and just, like...
So, well, we can't test this, because there were already several other samples of blood in the bucket. It's like, yeah, guy, it's a blood bucket.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And this revealed another one of Dennis's ingenious sort of psychopathic plans, where he gets someone to pretend to be Frank's illegitimate son.
Oh, yeah.
It's... Dennis loves to play God, and his sort of... his sociopathic genius is on full display this season.
Mm. Yeah. Nah, it's very good. Should we go to the next episode?
Oh, beat the timer again. Let's do it.
Okay. The final, the season final, Ass Kickers United, Mac and Charlie join a cult.
I thought this was great, because it was a... there's a little bit of a parody of CrossFit, sort of people really getting into that gym scene, and then almost, you know, other sort of culty things, a bit like Scientology. And again, Dennis is the puppet master. And it's something over something so trivial, like Mac was eating his chocolate mint biscuits or something. So over a series of time, he creates these flyers for a cult in which one of the main rules of the cult, Ass Kickers United, is not to eat these biscuits.
I love that specific brand, too. Yeah. Like, the cult was very, like, specific. Like.
And, unfortunately, the other guys catch on to their plan, and they just sort of, Dee and Frank try and get the, you know, like, oh, well, no, now the master says to do this, and they're each trying to get them to fix their apartment or eat a poop sandwich or not eat the biscuits. And, Max homophobia, I mean, no, not homophobia, whateverness, his dislike of women came out when women were allowed to join the club, which was pretty awkward. I like how Frank was trying to get that woman to hurt herself, so he had an excuse to give her a neck massage. Got a little bit out of hand when they were claiming that they were going to board a spaceship. They were telling them to set each other on fire. eat a poop sandwich. The guys really didn't hold back when they decided to test how far they could push.
Well, at the end, don't they end with a suicide?
Yeah.
Okay. Do people die at the end of that episode?
Yeah, well, they get one of the guys to set himself on fire. Like, it would have been kind of funny if they set himself on fire and someone had to put him out and then the gang got in trouble or judged or something, but the fact that they implied that he actually died, I was like, is this too dark? It's like, it's so sunny, finally crossed the line.
Possibly. Like, but then again, that's, I thought, oh, this is edgy. Okay, well, that's the timer. We've done the season. We've reviewed the season 2 minutes per episode. I think fans like this way of doing things. We don't drone on too long about anything.
I'm pretty sure the only podcast on the internet reviewing its seasons of It's Always Sunny episode by episode in 2 minutes or less, we've done it again. I guess the only thing left to do is give a score for the season as a whole. I really enjoyed the season. A lot of high points. Perhaps a little inconsistent, but as we were recounting some of the episodes, definitely a lot of high points, a lot of great moments. I think It's Always Sunny struggles a little bit to push the boundaries because that's what they've been doing so much for 9 previous seasons, and maybe this season they had to do some things that were a bit silly or maybe too far, like getting someone to kill themselves. And overall, still very entertaining, still a lot of classic moments. I think episodes like Charlie Work and you know, will be considered, you know, people will put, top 5 episode, you know, that's going to, another classic It's Always Sunny episode. So another great outing. I'm going to give the season an 8.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I think, I don't think there's a season of It's Always Sunny that I haven't felt on some level is inconsistent. Like, it's not like a show where every week I'm, like, walking away going, oh my gosh, this is, like, the best episode of It's Always Sunny. Like, so I was like, oh yeah, it's all right. But they're all so funny in their own way. Like, and I feel like for a show that isn't, like, the most consistent sort of, at the same time, it is one of, over the past 10 years, been the most consistent comedy on TV, probably.
Might not be episode-to-episode consistent, but season-to-season, it has been.
Yeah. Yes, I like that. So, I think that's really good. I thought this season was a strong one, but not their best. A few episodes that I didn't like as much, a few episodes are really good, so I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. And I think the one thing we forgot in our rushed recap, the thing we skimmed over was that Charlie and Dee slept together.
Oh, that was very awkward. It was kind of funny, but I wondered if it might sort of ruin the dynamic, but then they just didn't bring it up again. So I was fine with that.
Yeah, I think that's sort of, I didn't mind. I was, yeah, at the time I was like, oh, I hope this doesn't go in a bad direction, but they did well with it.
The funny thing about that is that Mac and Dee, the actors in real life, are married. How weird would that have been, seeing Charlie make out with your wife?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I wonder which writer came up with that. Whether it was Charlie, Rob, or Glenn.
I'm going to guess Cricket. They're like, you... David Hornsby or whatever, is like, you've done a lot of sadistic stuff to me over the years. I'm going to get you back, Rob McElhenney.
I can imagine it wouldn't be Charlie's idea. And it's like, in a writer's, like, you know, it's sort of not cool if you suggest that.
Yeah.
Like, sort of go, hey, wouldn't it be, like, funny if me and Dee slept together? Like, I think that's got to come from Rob.
Yeah.
Maybe Glenn is sort of just a third party. Like,
yes, very weird, but pretty funny scene.
That's the first time they slept together, right?
Yeah, as far as yes, I believe so.
I did think, like, oh, maybe this has happened before, like, in the past 9 seasons of the show, and I just forgot it.
Yeah. So, if you are a... fan of It's Always Sunny or a fan of It's Always Sunny reviews, I think we got some good news. I'm pretty sure it's been renewed for at least 2 more seasons.
Oh my gosh, I did not know that, but that's so exciting.
So we'll be back next year, and we'll be back next week to review something else.
Yeah, do you watch Better Call Saul yet, Jonathan?
No, but we finished Girls. We could do a Girls podcast, or maybe a movie comes out this week. So
we got to do an Avengers, right?
Oh yes, we'll be getting on that as well. So a couple of things to look forward to. Thanks for listening, and see you guys next week.